we've discussed a lot about nimitta and different meanings of nimitta. Now, in this sutta in Majjhima, talking about concentration, it says, unification of mind, friend Visakha, is concentration. The four foundations of mindfulness are the basis of concentration. And the four foundations are the basis of concentration. Here it's used samadhi nimitta, the basis of concentration, in the sense of being its condition. So what exactly is the meaning of nimitta here, as in samadhi nimitta, or basis of concentration? Is this another meaning of nimitta?
It depends on whether now we can understand what nimitta is. Because when one knows that realities arise and fall away so fast, and the sanya always remember or recognize the sign of the rupa, because now no one can experience the arising and falling away of any nama and rupa at all. So now when someone see kunsara, it's nimitta. Anything. That's why we understand what is meant by sankhara nimitta, including every reality which arise and then fall away, like citta together with cetasika. Now we are talking about any kind of nama. It's also the vinyana nimitta. So there are rupa nimitta, vedana nimitta, sanya nimitta, sankhara nimitta, and vinyana nimitta. At moment of hearing about nimitta, it reminds right understanding to see and understand that what is now appearing is only the nimitta. So we live in the world of just like a dream about reality, and take the dream so real as being which is so permanent. But actually, all are nimitta now. So we don't mind to be aware of anyone particularly, because each one just the object for awareness, just to be aware at that very moment. Just at that very moment. And no one who hasn't developed right understanding enough cannot understand the permanent impermanency of that which has arisen and fallen away. So it has a long time to go to develop right understanding with attachment, with detachment. It's impossible to have attachment and add more attachment and hoping to get understanding from not knowing or understanding reality with detachment.
So here when it refers to samadhi nimitta, it's just in the same sense as sanya nimitta or sankhara nimitta, just the...
More than that.
More, in what sense more?
For example, those who develop samatha bhavana do not understand anything about the nimitta. So they develop something to have other nimitta.
Yeah. So here it's referring to development of samatha, the nimitta.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the other meaning of nimitta. But what does it mean then that the four foundations of mindfulness, the four satipatthanas, are the samadhi nimitta?
Is this from Mahasatipatthana, from what?
No, this is from Majjhima 44.
About?
About the discussion between Visakha and Dhammadina.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to her, what is concentration? What is the basis of concentration?
I think that Visakha talk about the development of vipassana insight. But when he used the term concentration, it has to be right concentration, it's right understanding, not just the samatha bhavana.
So here when it says the four foundations of mindfulness are samadhi nimitta, in the sense of being its condition.
We have to know the text, because when we talk about the path, the person who develops understanding can see the difference between reality and nimitta.
How do they see the difference?
Because reality has a characteristic which awareness is aware. So now, at moment of seeing people and things, without understanding that it's only nimitta, it's impossible to erase the idea of self or being at all.
Where in the suttas or where in the commentaries does it talk about sanya nimitta, vedana nimitta? I haven't read that in
Yes, when we talk about sankhara nimitta, includes all.
Could one say here that the four foundations of mindfulness are the basis of understanding what samadhi nimitta is? We could say it like that.
It is the base for understanding of anything which appears.
Yeah. So we have to include that word.
That's the development of understanding.
Yes.
Because usually, people ignore understanding so much. They just want to get to do whatever they think that it will bring them to Nibbana, not knowing that the way to attain Nibbana is the way with detachment from very beginning. For instance, now, who knows about attachment right now? See, even it's here and now, no understanding about when is attachment. Instead of having attachment, how can there be moment with detachment instead of attachment? Without the understanding from the very beginning, you go nowhere to right understanding, how to have right understanding.
Then just now you said that those who practice samatha, they don't understand the meaning of nimitta.
Do they? Anyone here?
You mean those
even right now, it has to be right understanding which can see whatever appears is only the mitta, the sign.
As nimitta. And so they look for other objects. What does that mean?
Samatha? Or vipassana?
Samatha.
Samatha do not understand reality right now. No understanding about now what is seen is nimitta.
That's why they look for something else to
do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like before the Buddha.
Or even these days.
Oh. But correctly before the Buddha, those people who developed samatha.
The real samatha,
They didn't understand reality. Right?
If they do understand, no need to listen to the teachings at all.
So here we could say the development of satipatthana is the condition to understand that the samadhi nimitta are only nimitta, not reality.
Satipatthana panya will understand reality as it is.
So I still don't understand why it refers to it being the condition or the basis of samadhi nimitta then.
It depends on the text. Now Visakha was talking with Dhammadina.
Should I get that?
On what? See? Mm-hmm. On satipatthana? On the truth of reality? Or on samatha? So no matter what is used, he can use samadhi or sati or sanya or anything. So no doubt about if one just talk about one characteristic like samadhi and the base for samadhi or the base for satta or the base for other jetasikas.
That's okay, but I just wondered the use of nimitta in this context. Why is nimitta used?
It shows that
the reality.
Dhammadina and Visakha both understood what nimitta was, while the other might not know at all about nimitta. For example, even right now, who do you see? What do you see? See? Always things. Those are nimitta.
Even, I think you were saying before about nimitta, even after developing understanding correctly, before the high level of vipassana jnana, at the low levels of Vipassana and Jnana, it's still only nimitta. Before arising and falling away?
You mean moment of Vipassana or moment before and after?
Moment of Vipassana, but the Taruna Vipassana.
Moment of Vipassana, reality is object. But we can use the term nimitta of reality because it's not the moment of directly inside the arising and falling away because it has to be higher Vipassana. So Panya can understand everything as it is because at that moment it's not just kalapa, but many kalapas.
At that Taruna Vipassana level.
Oh. But you see that the first Vipassana Jnana is not like the other higher Vipassana. So now the characteristic of Nama and Rupa do not appear clearly, because right understanding is not keen enough. So at this moment, even we are talking about that which sees is different from that which is seen, and that must be that reality which are now seeing. Even it's mentioned like this many, many times. It depends on whether there is awareness of that which sees or not. And when it's the Vipassana Jnana, right understanding, experience, just that characteristic which sees as it is. So no time to think about how many moments or Sankhara Vijnana or what. Because it has to develop on and on in order to eradicate clinging and ignorance of reality, which is not the object of Vipassana Jnana. So it just, no matter how much one hears, it's just for understanding reality, which is now appearing as anatta, no self, no one. Even there are many people here, but the words always remind that there is no one, only visible object is appearing. But it doesn't mean that we have to think about arising and falling away and kalapa and so on. This is the point, and this is very important because it's only way to be detached from story, from clinging, from more panya, for whatever one has accumulated.
Can I show you the Pali
here? I don't know Pali.
I'll let Jonathan read this.
Tattamau panaye samadhi. This is a question. What?
He asked many, many questions.
Yes, exactly.
Tattamau samadhi nimitta. Tattamau samadhi parikara. Tattamau samadhi havana.
Oh, that's a very interesting passage, isn't it?
What is concentration? What is the basis for concentration? What is the equipment for concentration? What is the development of concentration? And then unification of mind is concentration, so that is cittasa ekagata. The four foundations of mindfulness are the basis of concentration, that is jataro satipatthana. The four right kinds of striving are the equipment for concentration, that is jataru samapadana. The repetition, development, and cultivation of these same states is the development of concentration.
Why does Bodhi translate samadhi and mitta as basis of concentration?
He says that means in the sense of condition of.
Note, the four foundations of mindfulness are the basis of concentration, samadhi, which in the sense of being its condition. That's from the commentary.
Oh, okay.
Here it would seem incorrect to translate nimitta as sign in the sense of either distinctive mark or object.
But in fact it would be very correct, wouldn't it?
Well, that's why I was just asking whether it was another meaning of nimitta or the same.
Because I think that if you read from the beginning, it concerns the Eightfold Path.
Yes,
from
definitely.
Here, from here.
Yes.
And we understand better, not just part of it.
See?
Eightfold Path.
Yes.
Full circle.
So it's referring to right concentration of the
Eightfold
Path. And just one word will go along to other words in the teachings, from the Eightfold Path on to concentration, on to breathing, on to everything.
But Bhikkhu Bodhi says it would seem incorrect to translate nimitta as sign in this case, but nimitta is sign, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it is correct. I think he's made a mistake there. He says that the commentary says it's sign, or the commentary doesn't say, but he thinks you shouldn't translate nimitta as sign in this case, but it is a sign still, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
According to him, the commentary says nimitta here means condition, but samadhi nimitta means something like in the sense of being a condition for samadhi.
Yeah.
And what condition sign? The arising and falling away. If there is no reality arising and falling away, how can there be a sign of anything? But this is the development of Eightfold Path. The person who really understand reality has no doubt about any word, because there are many aspects, starting from one meaning up on to all in the teachings.
So in fact it is the same meaning of nimitta, but understanding it more deeply according to
the
seven of Eightfold Path, understanding how
that's the teaching. Otherwise there is no way to have such understanding, because just by developing samatha there is no understanding of sign. All the teachings lead to more and better understanding and deeper understanding. Not just take it.
Talking about samadhi, there's a pervasive belief that first get samadhi, and then after that, that will condition panya. And so, especially the Burmese talk about kanika samadhi, and they say that kanika samadhi is not just momentary samadhi, it means keeping the samadhi flicking from one sense door to another. The samadhi is always stays constant and gets deeper and deeper. I can't believe that at all, but and I don't see anywhere in the scriptures that support that, but they certainly promote that view.
Why do we classify samadhi into kanika samadhi and upachara samadhi and apana samadhi? To show that they are different.
Mm.
If there is no samadhi now, can there be samadhi which developed to that degree? So for vipassana, at moment of experiencing reality, is not upajara or apana. It is only momentarily.
But even now there is also momentary, right?
Each moment.
Akusala or kusala.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know whether I get this textual support for saying that it's some sort of special samadhi, that they try and say it is some sort of vipassana samadhi that they talk about. I don't get that at all.
What do they think about kanika samadhi?
They think it's similar to upajara samadhi, except that upajara samadhi has one object, but this has the six sense doors as object, and it's at the same level of concentration. They think the mind can keep flitting from object to object.
And how many objects are?
This is the six sense doors.
For upajara samadhi.
One.
One.
Yes.
And apana samadhi.
One.
And kanika samadhi.
Anything that arises in the present
moment.
One,
two.
Yeah. But they would say it's different from momentary samadhi that's happening now. It's very...
Yeah.
And that's where they get the promotion of this these techniques, these new techniques that they've developed in Burma. Because of the kanika samadhi. It's a special type of vipassana samatha, I guess. And they promoted it quite well, I think.
Because it's not the development of samatha. When we talk about upajara samadhi and apana samadhi, we're talking about the development of samatha.
Mm.
But vipassana, It's not the development of samatha. So no matter the moment is upacara or apana, it can be object of right understanding. And usually it has to be kanika, moment too, because otherwise how can it experience the arising and falling away?
Anyway, I was just wondering if there is any textual support for their idea.
Yeah, it's like the teachings of Buddha, like the law, anyone can read, but it depends on the understanding. And the understanding has to be the understanding of reality, all realities, not just word without understanding reality at all.
So in the beginning, the development of Satipatthana, it's still at the level of nimitta, seeing the nimitta of sanya, vedana.
Beginning to understand what...
What is nimitta and what is reality.
Okay. Whether nimitta is real or it's only the succession of the arising and falling away.
Sorry, can you clarify that again?
In order to understand that now is nimitta or now is Satipatthana.
Okay, now is
the so a right understanding begin with moment when Satipatthana arises by conditions.
But even when it arises now, say it does by conditions, it's still only really seeing the nimitta, isn't it? It's understanding in this is only the nimitta.
In the absolute sense. For example now, there can be awareness of hardness, nimitta. Because it's not direct experiencing the arising and falling away of rupa right then. So even that person has right understanding about what nimitta is, not just visible object, even hardness or anything.
I think this idea that you mentioned before about the kanika samadhi, it's related to the idea of focusing on different objects appearing.
Yeah.
So behind it is the idea of concentrating or trying to catch
reality. They seem to have really got onto it after, you know, in Sri Lanka, the Sri Lankan jhana people severely criticized Mahasi Sayadaw and the Burmese people. So they, when they wrote back defending their methods, they said, oh, we have concentration too, just like the jhana people, but it's kanika samadhi. And I was just reading a quote by a famous monk, and he said, it's different from momentary concentration in normal daily life, though. This is a special type of concentration that changes object and keeps the concentration going. It's going from seeing to hearing to tasting to thinking, and it's never loses it. Type
what
thing.
About no one has to do or practice that way at all, because that is the way it is. From one object to another object already right now.
Yeah.
So what's the use of trying to make it to be like that, because it's always
it
like that.
It seems they don't even consider panya. They don't even factor panya into the whole scene.
They don't mind about panya, they just want to do, to get. Not to understand.
Just want to catch.
What's that Sri Lankan monk who wrote the big book, Gunasekara or something? So that's where I was reading that recently.
Gunaratra.
Something in Virginia. But he's just saying what also the Burmese say, basically, because he follows their system.
Just on this area then of the nimitta and developing understanding of realities, is it correct that as Satipatthana is developed, there's more understanding of the difference between reality and nimitta?
Until vipassana arises,
right.
So one can know that it's not like we think that now there are many people, because Satipatthana is aware of a characteristic at time. And when it's vipassana jnana, nothing is there, no world at all. Just that reality and that which experienced that. Even right then, it's not the higher level of vipassana like uttayapaya jnana or samasana jnana. That's why all vipassana jnanas are different. at moment of realities appear to Panya, which is Vipassana, no attention to other higher understanding, because that level is that which can really experience or directly or really see clearly what realities are. That's all different from one to another. We don't mind whether that is nimitta or not, because the characteristic appear, but not like Uttayapayayana or Samasarayana. That's why one can understand what's meant by nimitta, even then.
But for the person who has this well-developed satipatthana and even maybe has the lower jnanas...
Vipassana?
Yes. There is still nimitta for that person. Not talk about the moment of vipassana, but other times.
That's why you come to the word sankharamitta before the moment of experiencing nibbana.
Even then, no? Sankhara nimitta.
No doubt. So it's like now, no doubt about visible object and thinking. But it doesn't mean that there is no idea about people and things. Mm. There is, but
right.
No doubt.
There must be.
It's just keep on going.
It's a funny concept to try and understand that for us the reason there are people and things is because of ignorance. There's no clear distinction. We think people and things are real. For the person who has highly developed understanding, is still a world of people and things. But
Panya is there.
Panya is there. Mm-hmm. So there's no mistaking people and things for being absolute realities.
Mm-hmm.
So life, in a sense, goes on as normal.
Like at Chetavan or anywhere.
When one appreciates that the understanding of reality is not the arising and falling away, one knows it must be the nimitta, because it's not the...
We don't call it anything at all, but when we come to read, we understand what it's meant there.
And is this related to how the first three vipassana jnanas are referred to as cintamaya, panya, because there's not yet the detachment from the thinking in the way there is when there's the direct understanding of the rising and falling away of dharmas? Is there a connection?
Because thinking can arise, but no doubt about that
what
which
it is.
Yeah.
No doubt that what it is. So I'm just wondering why the first three vipassana jnanas are referred to as cintamaya panya.
Actually, it's taruna vipassana.
Taruna, because they are taruna. But I think in some context they're referred to as cintamaya.
Because of thinking is there, that's all.
But thinking will always be there even for an arahat.
So yes, but panya is different.
The thinking is in between also for the higher jnanas. It follows.
And panya sees clearer and clearer.
It's a matter of degree of detachment and panya, I think. So it's just a matter of the higher development of panya and the amount of detachment from not so carried away by the stories. And even there's no wrong view about people and clocks and microphones still, if there's not as much detachment.
So the first three jnanas is cintamaya panya because thinking.
There can be thinking about realities at that moment.
But also with the higher jnanas.
So clear that there is even no thinking about it. For example, at moment of experiencing nama and rupa, and thinking arises as no self, but thinking is there about reality right then. But after that, no need to think about reality which appear clearer and clearer.
There is no need for thinking in the higher jnanas. In the lower jnanas, they will be thinking about it,
right.
Like reviewing it. Right.
But it's particularly relating to the thinking about the jnanas, not
at that moment about the object which appears.
Okay, I found this is from Venerable Gunaratna's book, The Jhanas in Theravada Buddhist Meditation. And it's quite a large book and quite well published, with a lot of good stuff in it. Okay, here He's talking about Kanika Samadhi, which he says this is what the Sukha Vipassaka dry insight worker uses. They don't need mundane jhana, they don't need vipachara. And he says, despite its name, momentary Kanika Samadhi, despite its name, momentary concentration does not signify a single moment of concentration amidst a current or distracted thoughts, but a dynamic concentration which flows from object to object in the ever-changing flux of phenomena, retaining a constant degree of intensity and collectedness sufficient to purify the mind of the hindrances. So Kanika Samadhi for him, no hindrances, the mind is pure and it stays pure. To me, it has no basis in the text at all, but I was just wondering.
Please explain.
Well, I would say at the moment of Vipassana and Jnana, of course the mind is...
It's not Samadhi.
No.
It's not Samadha, it's Vipassana.
Mm-hmm. The mind is obviously very pure. We can accept that, but what he's saying here is that...
What level of Vipassana?
Yeah, he's talking about just normal... He's talking about any type of development of satipatthana for a dry insight worker is...
At that level that the mind is pure.
Yeah, but he's saying it's not momentary. He's saying they can basically keep it there
even
for
right now from
seconds,
the...
minutes, hours, whatever. They
you
like.
Mean from the very beginning?
Yeah. That's what he's suggesting, yes.
Impossible.
Oh, of course.
From the very beginning, it has to be the beginning of satipatthana, which is very short and very fast.
Like a flash, not...
Because panya is not developed yet.
By concentrating on what?
On whatever arises in the moment.
Oh, as you keep on noticing the concentration...
Noting. It might start off distracted, but it
noticing.
Gets better and better.
Can that noticing be awareness?
It could, but not necessarily. No.
What I don't understand is because Kanika Samadhi is just ekagata chetasika that arises at every moment.
He is redefining Kanika Samadhi with no basis from the scriptures. How does he justify them doing that? He doesn't give any references. And the Burmese, I've never read a single reference where they do either. So, but this is a pervasive belief among people who do that type of meditation. That this is all scripturally.
They say they do it Kanika Samadhi, but what is it?
Even Bhikkhu Bodhi in his CMA, in his Abhidhamma to Sangaha, has a similar sentiment about Kanika Samadhi.
But I think that anyone who believes that there must be meditation. No, not right at all.
This is the kind of state people get in when they sit down and meditate.
So he's
talking about
not
what
understanding from the very beginning. Why? How? For what? Why meditate?
Because they think
and
that
who's
is,
meditating?
That is the result.
So. This can never be satipatthana because noticing is not sati.
Or trying to develop Kanika Samadhi is not satipatthana.
Not right understanding.
While Robert's thinking of the next point from that, back to the Chintamaya Panya, referring to the first three Vipassana Jnanas, here I have a quote from the Charyapitika, or the commentary to the Charyapitika, then he should develop wisdom born of reflection, Chintamaya Panya. So I see.
But not Vipassana Vidya.
So this is just referring to the ordinary meaning of reflection. By first reflecting on the specific nature of the phenomena, such as the khandhas, and then arousing reflective acquiescence in them, next he should perfect the preliminary portion of the wisdom born of meditation, pūpa, bhaga, bhāvana, panya, by developing the mundane kinds of full understanding through the discernment of the specific and general characteristics of the khandhas, etc. So you're saying the first reference to cittamaya panya is just intellectual reflection, understanding by reflecting on the khandhas, and then perfecting the preliminary wisdom, purva bhaga bhavana panya, by developing the mundane kinds of full understanding through the discernment of the characteristics. So here it would be referring to vipassana jnanas, I think.
When panya experiences directly with awareness.
Characteristics, okay. I've heard you say on a tape that cittamaya panya can refer to the first three vipassana jnanas, but actually I haven't seen it in a text. Anything else there you want to raise on?
That's okay. Just need to bring that up.
At first when you read something like this, you think, oh, there must be something I've missed in the text, or there must be something behind it. But as you say, there's no support or
this
reference.
This is a very thorough book.
Especially when there's so many other texts and references, and you know
someone's
familiar.
It's a well-referenced book, and it's quite thorough. 99% of it's probably correct. So then just...
throws this in.
It slips in.
There are many words for different levels of panya, like cittamaya panya, suttamaya panya, but it's not vipassana jnana. So we have to understand moment of vipassana jnana. It's different from other panya. But after one has attained vipassana jnana, then one's panya is different from moment without understanding with vipassana jnana before.
What are the other kinds of panya? What are they referring to?
Thinking rightly.
Okay.
Understand theoretically, intellectually, okay. It's also panya.
It's not vipassana.
Not vipassana jnana. Vipassana jnana is moment of directly experiencing.
I think we said before that understanding about, for example, karma and its effect is one instance of
panya.
Panya.
And when one develops right understanding, cannot one know about karma and vipaka?
Okay.
But one doesn't have to say that this is karma and that is vipaka, because the characteristic of reality appears as it is, vipaka as vipaka.
Talking about karma, sakkara, and jnana, could someone who doesn't believe in karma and rebirth develop any type of satipatthana? I don't think they could they? Could they still develop satipatthana? What was born?
For the person who doesn't understand nama and rupa, so how can they develop? Because they don't know what was born.
Like the Zen people, some of the Zen people that I read about on the internet don't believe in karma and rebirth, but they think they're developing sati, but I can't see how, because they have no basis for conditionality, for understanding conditionality. So how can it be sati? How can it be panya?
And I find three people who say they believe karma, vipaka, and rebirth. It's almost like they just say without really meaning it.
But for some time, they do understand the meaning of karma and vipaka. Even they don't use the term vipaka. They believe in karma and pon kong kam. They use the Thai word. But as I, not as realities at all.
What I mean is...
what I have done, I would get it. Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not really...
That's one, but there are some people who study Dhamma with the aim of getting something in this life as though there's no next life. That's all they practice, just it has to be in this very life. The Buddha taught whatever
because they
he
don't
taught
understand what was born and what is the cause and what is the result in the absolute sense. It's still I. So they live just in one, only one life.
It's worse in Thai because they've been using it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. When you fall, you don't have sati, they would say.
Yeah, that's, but that's the same in English too.
Can we say at the beginning stages of the Vipassanayanas that the characteristics such as visible objects, sound and so on are known, and later on Panya turns more to the general characteristics, the Tilakana, or do we need to say turns more to the general characteristics of these same realities or
to other reality which is now appearing? Vipassanayana arises in false ways so fast, not enough to understand reality as nama and rupa, mm-hmm. like at moment of Vipassanayana. Mm-hmm. So it has to repeat on and on and on, until it gets keener and keener with detachment. But attachment will be always, all the time. For Panya to see and understand it, that it has to be eliminated until it's completely eradicated stage by stage. First stage is with wrong view.
So that's why only later it turns to the general characteristics.
Otherwise, we don't understand what's meant by satipatthana, every moment of every object. Because now it's object of a citta. But there must be understanding until Panya is so used to the characteristic of nama and rupa.
So Panya becomes more frequent?
If it's like that, it can be object of attachment again.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. That sounds like what Gunaraj was talking about, trying to it again and again, repeatedly, without break. That's what he's talking about, mindfulness.
But it's like testing about whether one still have attachment to any object, say, or it gets less and less. But when Panya is not strong enough, it cannot be less. But it can appear to Panya, so that Panya can see when it's attachment. Is there attachment right now?
I'm sure there is. But
can Panya see that?
It can, but
that's not, because Panya does not arise, so it cannot see. Only when there is awareness.
What's the significance of the fact that there's attachment arising with seeing invisible objects all the time?
It hinders the true nature of object as reality. For example, now, visible object cannot be anything at all except that which can be seen, just that.
But how does the fact that there's attachment hinder the...
Why can't one understand it as it is?
No panya.
With attachment also. Instantly after seeing.
Why isn't the problem just lack of developed panya instead of the problem being...
If there is no ignorance, can there be attachment? Like
no.
An arahata?
Right. He's eradicated all ignorance, mm-hmm. and therefore all attachment.
As long as there is no panya, can one say that there is no attachment right now?
No one can't say. You might be feeling very calm, but if a bomb went off, you'd suddenly be afraid. It just shows attachment's there.
And it's
all
not
the time.
Just to talk about attachment after seeing, it has to be the understanding right then. That's the way to eradicate attachment.
And is this the same for all the hindrances?
Okay. Now reality arises and appears. Why not understand it as it is? Arising,
right.
Falling away,
right.
No self,
right.
Nothing in it. Why? Because not knowing or experiencing directly the true nature of realities.
Then why not?
Ignorance.
So how does it change,
the understanding from moment to moment help one to understand that actually we talk about visible object many times a day, in order to have it accumulated, even the intellectual understanding, so that it can condition awareness unexpectedly.
Unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
Not by
no,
trying to.
No, that is not right understanding at all. So in order to understand the right path, it's not easy, because all four noble truths are so very, very subtle. Mm. All of them, not just the first or not just the third, but also the fourth one, the path. Who can see that just a moment of being aware of a characteristic will lead to detachment from taking it for something permanent? Just once, see, very fast, but it has to be that moment only.
And if we don't see this, this is why we might be inclined to follow other kinds of practice, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. You know that that cannot be the right path at all. Mm-hmm. It's only thinking, and the self is trying so hard to do something mm-hmm. in vain.
Because
there's no understanding of reality right now. So what's the use of doing something different from understanding from moment to moment?
But there is such a thing as the right conditions for
yes,
awareness to
yes.
arise.
Theoretical, intellectual understanding
Standing.
Only. Right. That's why there must be Suttamaya Panya and Cintamaya Panya and Bhavanamaya Panya. And also the three Kitcha. Three satya, satyayana, three yana, three rounds, satyayana, kitayana, and katayana. He taught everything so that people will not go astray with ignorance. Have you heard about the satya barami? The ten barami, and satya is one.
Truth.
Mm-hmm. To be truthful.
Truthful to the reality now.
To right understanding and the development of understanding. What is right is right, and what is not right is not right.
What is known and what is not known.
Yeah. Without this, it's impossible to understand reality as it is.
But the trouble is, you see so many people in Buddhism, so many bhikkhus, so many scholars and professors.
How do you know that? How do you know that there are many scholars and...
reading books and reading things on the internet.
Like the book that Queen Robert mentioned?
For example?
Scholar?
Scholar.
Yeah. We call scholar, but what is meant by a scholar?
The world sees them as somebody.
The world? What's the world?
Public opinion.
Usually public opinion is right or wrong with understanding. So should we follow the wrong opinion?
It's just desire to get somewhere quickly.
Quickly.
Do this, and the souffle will rise. You know, it can't be that simple. It just isn't. That
and
simple.
Then there is attachment.
Yes.
So
yes, absolutely.
Can that be the path leading to detachment?
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried breathing practice?
A long time ago.
I see.
What's your name?
Okay. Yes. For how long?
It was when I lived in Chachin Sao. So, a couple of years, maybe.
For the purpose of being there?
Oh, at the time, it was for the purpose of calmness.
I know
Thai people who, tell me they follow the practice of Goenka or somebody from India. People who listen to you.
It all would be well if Japan would shift to Australia.
No one will listen to me. No one will listen to me.
I'm just making excuses.
With the mindfulness that which is called vipassana. There's no
which is called mindfulness too.
Yes, mm-hmm. But there's no mention of realities that appear.
The mention of understanding.
That's right.
They mention experience heat. You know, they do mention that.
That's what?
Oh, heat. Yes.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Not seeing invisible object though.
That's right. No, it was the body sense as well.
Yeah.
Right.
With intention.
Mm.
Some of it seems like a partial elements, samatha elements type meditation, maybe, that they're trying to develop. I don't know. They're trying to sense the elements in the body, right?
But how can it can't be any samatha at all? How can it be any samatha? Because no understanding.
Mm. They just use the term with outright understanding.
Mm-hmm.
They're just writing a new script.
But out of the feeling of helplessness, I couldn't do something, fix this.
All the problems in the world is just that one moment arising before. So this idea of going out to try to feel more calm through breath meditation doesn't help.
That can be said here, that can be agreed with here, but when you're in a situation and you're upset or you're frightened, you want some strong something, you want control.
You want more punya.
I know.
You need more punya at that moment. What would solve your problem was just more punya, not going out to meditate.
Yes.
One of the people on DSG says he likes pornography. He likes looking at pornography on the internet. He knows that there's some low power in trying to concentrate on his breath, but he feels it's better to sit down and try to get his mind calm for an hour doing that than at least getting on the internet and looking at pictures of a woman.
That's no understanding.
Okay.
It's fine, but don't call it Dhamma. That's it.
The lesser evil?
Yes, the lesser evil.
It's real at that moment, but no understanding that there are conditions for its arising.
But also you can see people who do have wrong view, but they live, you know, very secluded and very strict ascetic-type lives. They are possibly saving themselves from doing a lot of bad karma by doing that. That they're not developing right view at all. Probably they're developing wrong view, but at least they're having less, they're not giving in to sense desire. Is it preferable? I don't know.
For how long?
They do it for years, some of them, right?
Yeah,
10, 20, 30, 40 years.
But even if it's for the rest of this life, what about next life?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's not so skillful.
It's not sustainable.
No, in the long term.
I think that the teachings of Buddha is not for everyone, only for those who have accumulated the appreciation of right understanding only. Otherwise, we don't understand even the term Buddha, which represents Panya, highest degree. They just want to live and appreciate the pleasant feeling.
Concentrated.
Even calm is that they don't understand.
That's their interpretation.
They think they have to make a decision about whether to live here or here or go on this course or do this, but they don't understand that each dharma, each moment is conditioned like that because they're thinking so much in terms of the situation, not actually understanding the dharmas involved. But everybody is at different, or has different understanding. Some have much more understanding than others. So, but we don't all from the beginning, either understand or not understand, we can work towards it, surely. So perhaps what Robert was saying before with that person, people who live ascetic lives, they're actually not doing more wrong things, more habitual, creating more bad habits. So perhaps that's better than nothing, better than, I don't know. It's just, surely it's not either you have understanding or you don't. You've got to sort of work with circumstances to maybe do less harm or less unwholesome things.
For yourself?
Probably not still having that understanding.
For yourself?
Yeah. But
not for the understanding for yourself.
But how to move towards?
Between the two?
The pleasant feeling and right understanding. Which one you prefer?
Yeah. Right understanding with pleasant feeling.
It doesn't matter at all, because when it's higher understanding, no matter it's unpleasant, the same. Never stay. So it's just clinging again.
Yes.
To pleasant feeling. To have both.
Definitely.
Do you know what next moment will be? Right understanding, or just thinking? When there is panya, there is no hope, no wish. Because one knows that whatever appears is conditioned. Whatever will arise is conditioned. When there is panya, knowing that even its next moment is conditioned, no one can do anything at all. And if you know that, if panya knows that, then no wish, no hope, no expectation.
Less and less idea about the quiet place or this practice or doing this or
coming
anything.
To
because
whatever.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can think of conventional. Yeah.
Because that is
reality.
Conditioned. See?
You're coming to the discussions. Yeah,
and
coming to practice.
Panya can see that it's conditioned, each kind of thinking.
But is there no choice? I know this is an old question, in a way too long. Is there no choice in that? Can you not choose to create a cause? Choose to.
Is that not thinking?
And conditioned by what?
Yeah.
If there's understanding, why?
It's very honest.
It doesn't mean that there is the self who will do something after knowing or understanding is, but by knowing that all realities are conditioned, then it has to arise. You cannot stop the arising of realities at all. It has to, from moment to moment, but not at will, not at your wish or your thinking. But there can be understanding. And you will be released from fear.
Sukin came to pick me up. We had a cup of coffee and I was telling him of some events that have been affecting me in the last year or so, since last time I saw you. And one of them came out of a situation at work with a lot of workplace bullying that wasn't apparent to anyone else, and it was my immediate boss. And I was quite frightened. It went on over a long time. It was psychological. And I looked in the teachings to find some protection. I wanted something. And I could just find the chants that a lot of the monks did about snakes and things when they were. And anyway, I asked some Vajrayana friends, Tibetan, follow the Tibetan teachings, and one of them sent me a particular mantra to write on blue paper.
Has to be blue?
It had to be blue. With a gold pen.
Why not other
colour? I don't know.
No reason.
I was too frightened to ask.
Yeah.
With a gold pen.
Which is a DuPont.
I went and bought a gold pen, a gold biro from the stationers and blue cardboard. And I wrote
them. What about if you cannot find?
I found it. And to wear it on me. I was not to chant it. I could read it. This is a person who translates Tibetan texts. And anyway, I was desperate, so I did. I wrote it and I wore it on my skin. The very next day, this person who was my immediate boss, he was the director of social work, his wife, he was pregnant, became ill and he had to take 6 weeks off.
That was because of you.
I actually approached this person and, who told me to do this and said, I don't want anyone harmed. And all he said was, nothing can happen that isn't Deva Parker. And she recovered. And this continued over the next couple of months. But I wore this thing the whole time. And then it was beginning to get worse and worse. And made a complaint about me to our big boss. There were a whole lot of things that it seemed to me couldn't have occurred without a cause.
You can't say it's totally impossible, but this sounds like pure superstition to me.
Well, I won't go into it now, but it was very involved, and it did seem to work, and in the end,
don't you try the white paper?
No.
You can't risk it.
I can't risk it.
Try it. Next time.
Oh, you lot. Pulling one little thing away, and the whole logs all tumble down. It just, I don't know. And so I wondered, what about creating a cause, even if you don't want to write on blue paper with cold light?
If he could condition such moment like you have experienced, could he help you to be reborn next life?
In what way? And as
in very good situations.
No.
It's
next life, woman.
I'm not quite certain.
If he could do that, then he could help you to be reborn.
I think this things like that. I mean, they're so misleading, and they're so far away from correct understanding. And yet, when something like that happens, the coincidence that it changes things.
You
cling to that.
Yes. It was clinging. It's clinging.
But the question is, does it solve anything?
It solved that little tiny problem.
What happens when the next problem comes along?
And what about if you didn't do that at all? It would happen like this, or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I have a question about yesterday we were talking about a little bit about Aramanu, Apanisya, Pachya, object, decisive support, condition. And this is what a friend wrote, and I just want to check if it is correct. Sickness, old age, and death. Not cheetah death here, are concepts but powerful mental objects which can be conditioned for object predominance pachya. So by reflecting on concepts such as sickness, old age or death, it can be a condition by object predominance condition for wise reflection or pamya. Correct so far?
What to do with aramanupanisya pachya?
Well, by Aramanu Panisya Pachya, because here it is.
Can we say any object?
Well, any object can be a condition for wise reflection, but these were examples, but actually it could be any object at all.
And does Aramanu Panisya Pachya has to do with Panya Odatai, or just ordinary moment?
Well, it can be to do with Loba, but in this example, to do with Panya.
It can be any moment, any conditions.
It's a wide pachya.
And when there is this pachya, one of the four citta seekers can be the leader, chanda, virya, citta, or vimamsa. So,
different pachya. Because this is aramanupanisya pachya, and
right. That
is atipati pachya.
Right, that's what I think. And he said, so when the Buddha said this, it was to encourage us to carry on investigating impermanence, understanding such objects leading to suffering. So when he talked about reflection on sickness, old age and death, it was to encourage us to investigate impermanence. I suppose by just reflecting how Dharma's decaying all the time.
But what about seeing right now?
And seeing also. So when he talks about sickness, old age and death, you mean seeing is included?
To develop more understanding.
So why is sickness, old age and death
mentioned?
Because
when people are sick, they don't think they could think about Dharma or develop right understanding through discussing or whatever.
I see. So by reflecting on sickness, it actually means when sick, reflecting on
it, it
any
doesn't
dharma.
Mean that you have to think of sickness first before coming here.
No.
Right? But by knowing or understanding that it's a common for each life, then why live without more and better understanding?
Rather than dwelling on it or giving it special attention. So it's almost like the opposite of the way people read it. People read it as thinking, oh, they better reflect more on sickness, old and age and death. But it's really a matter of, actually, we think a lot about it already.
Just
so how about
that moment of hearing or reading that condition, right understanding that one should live with panya better and better in one's life.
But it can also be the object of some of the kusalas.
How and when?
Just
keep on thinking?
No, at
what?
That moment. It can be when you hear
to become right then. This is why when people read sutta, after reading that, they do something or follow instantly without knowing that. When one understands Dharma, it conditions Sankhara Khanda for Kusala to arise at any time.
Additionally, conventional objects used here are Paccaya to follow the path, and ultimately it's the unpleasant feelings that spur the revulsion towards rebirth and for one to move on the path. I mean, people often think this too, that so by reflecting on something like this kind of suffering, that it's a condition to follow the path, and the unpleasant feelings are the spur towards nibbida or something like this. So again, it's like a selecting of certain objects, because as you say, actually any dharma can be the condition for samvega or for panya to develop, not just old age, sickness, death, or unpleasant feeling.
Christian brought up this thing about the husband. If he realized that death can arise at any time, it might be a shock. So actually, I said to her, it depends. If there's no understanding, it can be anything.
Because one usually think about the whole situation, but what about next moment seeing, next moment hearing, next moment thinking?
We don't actually seem to keep what we think we understand sometimes too.
But the first step is hard to really know, because a lot of people may look like they understand for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and suddenly they're going another way.
So it shows it's not actually firm at all, and it's not enough.
That's why even listening, reading, discussing or investigating is not easy. It has to be wisely. So we can really get it like reflection on death. How? Keep on repeating or what? See? What's the purpose of reflection on death? If it's not for Sankhara Khanda, to develop more panya, to be conditioned for awareness to arise.
I think the main thing is that we don't move the next moment.
Right.
So are you saying reflection on death is about the next moment?
Okay, now if you think about this, just one word, it would condition what to be next moment? Awareness or no?
Right, thank
you. It depends on understanding. Because the purpose is not just to think about death, but to understand reality right then.
What is Samvega? What is the Chittasika?
Anya.
Anya is Samvega. It's mm-hmm. really.
Anya with right effort.
Because mm-hmm. we cannot pinpoint particular Chittasika, isn't it?
Without Panya, mm. can it be Samvega? It can be unpleasant feeling mm. instead of Samvega.
So again, for reflection on death to be kusala, it probably just has to arise naturally and spontaneously and not be something deliberately undertaken, would that be right?
It depends on understanding. If we don't have the understanding of realities at all and someone talk about death, what happened then? And we keep on saying death will come anytime. It's not enough to develop understanding. Or do we have to follow the term they use?
Just a formulaic recitation or comment.
Well, it can be an object of samatha term.
What samatha is then?
Reflection on death.
Just calm. Okay. At that very moment.
Mm.
It doesn't mean that we have to keep on repeating this, this morning, this evening, this.
It's a chicken and egg though, because it's not so much unless it's just a lot.
And there must be panya, otherwise when one thinks about death, they might do other thing with akusla instead of being calm.
Yes.
I mean, even for someone who may have reflected a lot on death and have it arise so often, even he wouldn't think about having more of it. It would arise by conditions.
Are you ready to die? See? Another aspect of thinking about death.
Well, if you're successfully thinking about it, you are ready to die. If
because
it's success,
there is the development of right understanding to continue next life, to grow after this life.
It's one of your favorites, though, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's very helpful when it arises.
I'm sorry, where's your thought?
Meditation on death.
What do you mean by meditation on death?
Reflection in the right way about death.
What about satipatthana right then?
Yeah.
Instead of reflection.
It supports satipatthana, I think. I used to think about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just about the fact that we're going to die. Mm-hmm. And very helpful for Samvega.
And I think that
so
it needs not to be words at all, but the way it is, the way one see or appreciate panya, it's a kind of having such understanding about this.
The reason I favored it was that if it's done wrongly, there's unpleasant feeling because, you know, there's... So it's very obvious if you're doing it wrong. If they're thinking about dying in the wrong way, it's so obvious because there'll be a little bit of fear. But
when you talk about doing it rightly or wrongly, it sounds rather like a practice or decision to reflect on death, which is different from just like now we're talking about or reflecting on death as part of daily life.
Anyway, it just used to come up a lot for me.
When Buddha asked Ananda about how many times he think about death, see, it doesn't mean that how many times he really think about it, but how many times satipatthana arises and panya understand reality right then. It's no use just to think, breathing in and out, but the understanding just to remind as condition for awareness to arise.
So why was
Bhante even bothered to ask that particular question like that? Why would he say, how often do you...
If we don't talk about reality right now, then we forget again. But what would be next moment? It can be death. Yeah, so yeah, it can be Sankara Khanda for awareness to be aware.
But I think the feeling test can be misleading because one can think about death in a way that sort of gives one comfort, but it can just be with attachment. Then how does one know whether the reflection is this or that?
It's not death that raises so much fear, it's dying, it's the process of dying. Mm-hmm. I mean, particularly, say, in hospitals, you know, the staff in hospitals feel relieved, perhaps, when someone dies, that they've been missing, because they say they're at peace, or it's ended, but it's the months of dying, so... and seeing someone in pain that raises all sorts of fears.
But it's only the moment before being born.
Happy moment.
You look forward to
it. But who or what is to be just another chitta.
Mm.
It's just another chitta.